everyone. We want to welcome you to the Single Sessions. It's our podcast, and we like to let y'all know that we are the podcast for singles, by singles. There's not just two of us today, there are three. So I'm Miss Cindy Galley. I am one of your co-hosts of tonight's live podcast, along with the lovely...
I'm Diana Hogue, and we're super excited to be joined by Ms. Bradley Coggins tonight, one of our good friends. And I got a text from Cindy, who was having a conversation with Bradley the other day, and she said, "We're having the best conversation right now. We need to take this on the podcast." So that's what we are here to do. And Cindy, tell us a little bit more about that conversation and how.
Yeah. So actually Bradley, first of all, we want to welcome you to our podcast. We're so glad. And you're one of the brave ones, because it's not just the podcast. We're actually live right now on Facebook doing the single sessions, which will also be translated into our podcast. So thank you so much for joining and just saying, you know what? I'm gonna put my big girl pants on and say yes to that.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Cindy, for inviting me. And yes, you're right. This is my first time ever on Facebook Live. So I do feel like I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone big time.
Oh,
but I'm so glad to be here.
Well, so. We love that. It's so good to have you. Now, just tell us really quick, catch us up. How are you doing? How have things just been going for you with work and lockdown, pandemic, all of the above? How are you doing, my friend?
You know, I'm doing good. I'm staying positive. Last year, I think for everybody, was kind of a free fall, feeling like we don't know. There's so much up in the air. But I'm hopeful and looking forward to this year, just after, praying and spending time with the Lord. My word for this year is fruitful. So I'm very excited to see how that unfolds. I've managed to stay fairly healthy throughout the year. So that's been good. Work is going still steady. So definitely blessed. You know, I know I've had friends and extended family that have definitely been impacted with COVID and different issues last year. But we're all working through it. And so, God is good.
Yes. Well, so glad to have you on here. And, you know, we've partnered together. We've all been friends for quite some time, the three of us.
We have.
And I don't know, did the two of you ever do choir together?
I think we were in choir together. We also were roomies together on an Israel trip back in 2018.
So. We were.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Yes.
Best trip ever. Best trip ever.
I can't believe it's going on 3 years. That's what's crazy to me. Like, what?
I know, right?
Really amazing. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so jealous. Yeah, I remember hearing not just about the trip pre-planning stages, but just seeing the pictures. Bradley took me out to eat, and we had about, 2-3 hours of just going through photos, and we did not finish. We did not finish. And so, but it just looked like a wonderful trip. And that is a place that I want to go. I really want to go to Israel. I don't know if that'll ever happen now in this lifetime with the way everything is. We'll see. We shall see. I may just have to wait till the new Jerusalem.
There's always that.
Well, Bradley and I were talking. So last week, I actually had the honor of being a wedding coordinator for two very dear families of mine whose son and daughter got married. And so, that for me, it was just kind of being thrown in the loop of that whole atmosphere, environment, the behind the scenes of a wedding and whatnot. So I think really that whole... me sharing a little bit of that with Bradley, we just started talking just about the young ones. And I was saying, even for me, I had to take just a quick minute to, again, wrap my head or my brain around the fact that here I was once again at a wedding with one who I knew virtuous before she came out of her mama's womb. I was there at Yoli and Robert's wedding. So I knew them before they got married. And so, I could probably say there's about 7 kids for sure that are now grown up, grown adults and are married with kids that I, knew since before they were born. Mm-hmm. And me having never been married, so I was talking to Bradley just about, I had to take a quick minute to say, okay, Lord, help me not get discouraged. Help me to have the joy of the Lord up in here, you know. And of course, he's so faithful. And I adore, I've loved Virtuous since the day she was born. And Brandon is very dear and near to me as well. So that to me was not the thing. It was just me. You can feel it. 51, never married, a little, okay. And I really don't feel like this. It's been years, but there are times where you just feel overlooked. Am I too much for any one person? I remember telling the Lord one time, and when I was in Vegas, I was watching all these couples. I was sitting at the Paris Hotel, and tears just streamed down my face. I thought, I think I'm too much for any one man, and I will probably never get married. And I just sobbed right there in the middle of this big hotel with all this fun and gambling and ding, 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 all this noise. I just felt so alone. So there are probably so many singles that feel that way, because, you know, you really need to take the time to work out some of those things in your heart so that you can really rejoice when these young ones are getting married before you time and time and time and time and time again. So, and I got more to say, but, you know, it's not just the Cindy Galley show. So, Bradley, why don't you share a little bit about that, and then we'll go right into our conversation.
Sure. So sharing, well, a little bit, I guess, about me, I'll just say to you that single, have never been married. And I remember going through a season where all my friends were getting married. Most of them are now with kids or their second or third round of kids. And I'm also in a place now too, where some of those marriages, unfortunately, have hit some rough patches or are no longer, you know, together. Mm. So I think, like, that was in our conversation, Cindy, just something that we were talking about as far as the seasons that we're in, stuff we've observed, you know. And it's like, how can you, you know, maybe avoid or resolve certain conflicts that come up, stuff, you know, pretty consistently?
You know, it's like, how can you, you know, maybe avoid.
I am getting a little bit of feedback. Sorry, I don't know if that's coming from my end or where, but anyways, it got us to start asking questions of like, oh, you know, what is at the center of some of this conflict? You know, and they often were things based in someone's values, right? That's usually where the tension arises, because one side or the other doesn't want to compromise or yield in that particular area, because it's something they feel strongly about. And so we started throwing out some of the questions at each other. And I think some of them were humorous, of course. And as a single, being very objective in observing married couples, you're like, well, why would you not, how would you not know to ask that question prior to saying hi to you? Yes, yeah.
You know, outside going, looking in, saying, now that seems so big, you know, so basic. Why wouldn't you just, yeah.
Right. But, you know, as it is, when you meet someone and you've got rose-colored glasses, you know, you're not thinking of the different seasons that relationships go through. And that, yes, at some point, you know, like, you're going to have to talk about the career changes. You're going to have to talk about, you know, kids and how to raise them. Or do you go the adoption route? Are you okay with that? Like, just there's all these different questions that, even how do you walk out your faith through the different seasons as a couple? Because that may look different than it does as a single person, right? Mm-hmm. So that, I think, just kind of bridged right into this conversation of like, hey, we should talk about this a little bit more in detail and just share some whatever insights we've observed or however it may help someone else who's maybe listening or watching as singles. So
that's so good. You know, I always think about that movie Fools Rush In, which I wouldn't recommend anybody watching because it really is a crazy movie, but I remember when I did watch it all those many years ago, that was one of the things, you know, in their passion and lust, they got married, and then later on, they find out all the things about each other that they never knew. For example, he lived in New York, and she had no clue because they, you know, they never took the time to find out. They just, in the heat of the moment, from one meeting each other to, you know, her saying, pretend that, you know, let, or not pretend, but like, let's pretend we're a couple. And then my family can say they remembered you and all of these things. But, you know, it was like, you live where? Something so basic, like, oh yeah, he lives in New York. But some of those other things that you talked about are things that are really important to discuss. Do you want to have kids? For me, I never wanted to have kids. And so, and I've never been married. So for me, I'm past those years now of, now I wouldn't mind marrying someone that has kids. I never myself wanted to, I never wanted to go through the process of carrying a child and giving birth. As beautiful as I hear that it is, it's something that always just made me, and this is terrible, but this is real. This, if I can't be real here, then I can't be real, but it always made me nauseous. Like if I would look at somebody that was pregnant, especially growing up in high school and college, I just wanted to throw up for them.
You had
and I would be horrified. I would look at their stomach and I would just be like, horrified. If they were eating, I wanted to get sick for them.
Oh, no. You
know? And so, yeah, I, you know, that would be definitely have needed to be a conversation that I would have needed to have. Now in those days, I just dated whoever. And, you know, and I, even if we were serious, I surely didn't know enough at the time to have those conversations. But now, you know, in my late 20s or in my 30s, those were definitely need to be conversations that I needed to have. So
I've heard that a very well-known church in our area, I had heard years ago that they had something like of a premarital boot camp for couples that literally was almost trying to break you up with the level of just pressure that they put on you. Not just to be sadistic, but really to run you through your paces pre-marriage, to really go through those issues and talk through the hard questions before you say I do, so that you really are going with, you know, full knowledge and your eyes wide open versus like what you're saying, Bradley, with those rose-colored glasses. And so I would think that, yeah, we've talked about the kids thing. I would say, yeah, talking about your upbringings and understanding how that person was raised, because that really sheds a lot of light into why they do the things that they do sometimes, why they react to certain things that you would think, why does that get you so riled up? And you realize, oh, that's because this or that happened, even sometimes with trauma, childhood traumas and things like that.
Traditions.
Yes.
Whose household are we going to for the holidays? Your family, my family. What topics do I stay clear of? You know, are you guys, you know, it, like you said, there are definitely a lot of questions to be known. Yeah. And asked regarding someone's family upbringing and the sensitivities, so you understand the nuances of the family dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. Especially couples that are either like biracial or you have multiple cultures kind of coming together. Yeah. Really have to be extra understanding of where everyone's coming from, because you walk into it thinking, wait, you guys don't do this? Like, my family always does this. So how do you feel about that as a married couple then? How do you guys want to start your traditions, your family? How do you want to approach that topic, you know? Many a funny story has come from that, and also some horror stories have come from that, right? So, you know, anyways.
I think so much of it is those there's a lot of expectations that people have going into relationship, and many of them are never verbalized. They're just there. And then when somebody doesn't meet one of those expectations, and then all of a sudden that person is like so disillusioned and crestfallen and like, wait, what? What do you mean you don't? Like, I think about, like you were saying too, Bradley, with traditions and family and things like that, you know, what if, you know, a husband-to-be expects that wife-to-be to cook like his mom, you know, like, I expect you to make those traditional meals that we had growing up, and you've never even eaten that dish, let alone tried to cook it, or just, you know, I was joking with Cindy, I've said this several times over the years of our friendship, but I always want to have that conversation where, you know, the man says, like, well, no wife of mine is ever gonna, whatever, fill in the blank, it could be anything, like, but I just already have this expectation. No wife of mine is ever going to do this or say this or act like this. And I just like, let's get that on the table. Let's talk about those things. Cause I may have those too. I don't feel like I have any of those, but I could, you know, you start to have the conversation, all of a sudden things come up and you go, oh yeah, I guess that is a problem for me. Cindy and I did a 3-part series on our podcast about deal breakers. And so many of those things do fall into those categories. Once you start having that conversation and realizing, oh yeah, like I can't come to terms with that. Like I can't go forward with that, you know?
Right. Right. And even, I think of one is also like love languages, mm-hmm. knowing what the other person's love language, and it could be often more than one.
Oh, sure.
But you know, at least having that conversation so that you're able to communicate that to your significant other that they're appreciated and loved, and they're not thinking that, you know, you should know that I, you know, acts of service or words of affirmation, I need to hear that you love me or that you appreciate what I, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everybody has that conversation, which I have always found kind of surprising. It's like, yeah. Wow. So you don't know how to, you haven't had the conversation of how to express love to your significant other, you know, your husband or your wife. You don't know what makes them feel appreciated. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't sound like wisdom for long-term.
But we're so in love. We just love each other.
Right. That's all we need.
They're the one.
Yeah. And I know, like, with us, our pastors at our church, I think they require like 3 premarital counseling sessions before they'll marry you. But I honestly, I feel like that just scratches the surface. And I think that's, you know, that's admirable, because there are a lot of ministers that'll just marry anybody. And, you know, gosh, that's such a sobering reality that you're bringing people together, you know, in the name of God, and you don't have any idea if they should be together. Not to say that the ministers have to know all the nitty gritty and be fully, you know, apprised of every, you know, red flag and issue, but I think they can help with some of those conversations. And I know they do touch on some of that, but yeah, you kind of want to have, like, I'm over here still just thinking about that, you know, I don't know what it's called. Somebody referred to it as a premarital boot camp, but yeah, like, you want to go through your paces and just it sounds so punishing, you know, why takes all the fun out of it. Like, heaven forbid you should just, you know, enjoy your, but yeah, there, I think once you get serious, you know, I know we've had, Pastor Brian Wallace, he's a singles pastor out in Ontario, and he wrote a book, Chasing Happily Ever After. And he does talk about, that dating really is that data gathering time. It's not meant to be just like, you know, unicorns and rainbows and stars in your eyes. Like, you really are supposed to be open eyed and looking at that person and saying, okay, let's gather some data here. Let's guard our hearts. Let's not just jump in, you know, start professing love when we don't even know that person. And, you know, gather some data. And then when you start to say, okay, hey, based on this bit of data that I've gathered, I do feel like, you know, it's worth moving forward. But then even then, going into deeper layers of finding out about that person and what they value and what their expectations are and how they want to live their lives, you know, going forward, and how they want, you know, the type of life they want to live. You know, we've talked about too, like, you know, what if they're called to be a missionary? Are you willing to, you know, drop everything and go wherever God calls that person to go? Or do you feel like, no, I'm not called to do that? You know, that's a huge one. Let's talk about it.
And there are marriages that have ended, even people in ministry, good, well-intentioned people, because the understanding of what am I really saying yes to? I think, you know, I've talked about this at length, Diana, where we feel like we've seen so many and heard so many where they've said, well, they'll change. I can change that in them once after we're married. And you cannot go into a marriage thinking that you can change once once you've said, I do. All of those things have to be worked out before you say, I do. And, you know, you and I were in a meeting earlier today, and I laugh because the terminology used was Dr. Grack. And I remember going through a discipleship class at our church, and in level 6 of this discipleship, there was a term called Dr. Grack. And I thought, well, that's just such a funny name. You know, this was back in, I think that was 2011. I think I went through this class, but ever since I graduated from that program, I have always used Dr. Grack as a term. I would say, well, we need to make sure to Dr. Grack this person. And I would explain, you know, desired results, guidelines, responsibility, accountability, and consequences. You know, it's like, that is what Dr. Grack means. So it's a, but it's true. It's like, really, Dr. Grack carries over even to these types of things, even over into, well, we're going to date, or we're on this, in this trajectory of where we really feel like you are the person for me, I'm the person for you. Let's talk about some of these things that are really important. And then while we're at it, let's just be real. If you eat like a whole lot of food, then eat a whole lot of food when you're out with that person. You right. know, if you're loud, then be loud. Don't be like, oh, because yeah. then when you really laugh, it's like, oh my gosh, what the heck was that? Was that a cow? Was that a donkey?
I've heard of women too. This one was like a shocker to me, but I've heard of women whose husband never saw them without makeup before they got married. And they even continued as married people to make a point to wake up, you know, 30 minutes early. That is like, oh no. Like no. always keeping this wall and this facade and, you know, oh gosh, like what kind of marriage is that if you feel like they can't receive you as you are, you know? Yeah, you may prefer to wear makeup. And I remember this years and years and years ago, a couple that the wife was, well, they were young, early 20s. And she's like, you know what? I think I'm just going to go with no makeup today. He's like, it's okay. We've got time.
Oh, like, that's so sweet. Oh,
no.
That is so thought, oh, well, babe. But I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with him thinking, well, you know, you look great with makeup on. And, but to be at the place where you wouldn't even allow him to see you that way.
Right.
That's like, oh, I mean, that's scary. I mean, I feel like I have felt that way at times, but I wouldn't want that long term. Like, that's the way to live, where you're always just like walking on eggshells with that person and holding such a front to where you just can't be real and you can't just relax in their presence. You've got to always, you know, act like, you know, they can't know the real you. That's a scary place to be.
That is a scary place to be, because then who are you and why can you not be the real you? And then what kind of a foundation is that establishing what you're putting your relationship on? Then it's on a way faulty foundation.
Yeah,
because it's not even who you really are, which is so scary. And so a lot of times when people are rushing into things, These are the important things that they are not either seeing, or they're overlooking, or they're not taking the time to find out. Again, when you build a house, you need to count the cost. And do you have all of what is required to build this house from start to finish? Well, to me, that's for better or for worse. That's till death do us part. That is in sickness and in health. And so, you know, I've been with people who say, I didn't sign up for this. And I said, well, if you set for better or for worse, then you did.
You did, yeah.
And you absolutely did.
Right.
So have those hard conversations. Have them. You need to have them. And you need to really be you. Mm-hmm. Be you. I want to be me with the person who God has for me, because I am a whole lot. And that person needs to know I'm a whole lot.
You're so right, Cindy. Even I think about, you know, there's the question too of, what does an ideal marriage look like to you? As far as, hey, is this, do you see this being like a traditional, everybody, we both have our roles, the traditional marriage roles, or is this more of a partnership? Like, what does that, you know, are we splitting everything 50-50? Do we share bank accounts, or do we each have our own separate one for our own purchases? You know, what classifies as a major purchase? You know, are you just going to come home with the one that's the free spirit spender, comes home with a brand new car, and the other one is like, you know, the more frugal, and you've got them freaking out like, oh my gosh, what did you just do? Yeah. You know? Do you prefer to use credit cards or cash? You know, how do you handle finances? You know, how are we splitting chores? Like, who's going to be
responsible for
what? You know, if we decide to have children, how are we raising them? How are we disciplining them? Mm-hmm. You know, who's going to take the night shift while they're still you know, under 2 years old and such. It's like, those are some of the questions that some of my married friends have said, man, I wish we had talked about this prior to us, you know, getting to that season in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't become this point of tension where we assumed that we were on the same page, but we never actually talked about it before, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we hear that the most common point of tension in a married relationship is like either finances or communication. Honestly, yes. It kind of just kind of boils down to that ultimately. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like the importance of asking mm-hmm. and thinking of, okay, so what are we, if we were to look at the different seasons of life as we get older, we know that there are certain things that are going to come up at some point, right? Even mm-hmm. if both are working, or is there going to be one person who's going to take on as a primary, you know, breadwinner? But if we're both working and somebody gets a promotion at their job, are they just going to take it? Does that require you to relocate? Or is the other one supposed to just say, sure, I'll quit my job so we can, you know, follow you to the ends of the earth? Like, that, those are things that I've heard come up as well. It's just like, wait, we're we haven't talked about this, you know. So all so important, like you said, Cindy, it goes way beyond the, before you get to the till death do us part.
Right.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of life prayerfully that happens before the death part happens, right? So it's like, let's talk about the life part of what does that look like for both parties involved.
That's so good. That. You know, I think this is one of the reasons why it is really good to have like friends of the opposite gender in your life, because just last week, a really good guy friend of mine and I, we were talking, and again, I was kind of sharing with him what I was sharing with you, but I was just at this point where I just had to really quickly assess and check my heart, and in the sense of like, am I going to be okay? Am I going to break down? Am I going to feel rejected today? And so, and I was explaining to him how this wasn't the first, you know, they're, you know, both of my pastor's children and, you know, just kind of even mine and Diana's current, one of our overseers, no, actually both of her overseers. We knew them before they ever came out of their mom's womb. And now they're not just our bosses and their fathers, but they're, you know, they're husbands with their fathers as well.
Thank God I never changed either of their diapers. That would have made it so much more awkward.
The Lord saw to it.
God knew. He's like, don't let that happen. That will not be good for your future.
The Lord saw to it.
Talk about childhood traumas.
I changed your diaper.
That would have been so awful.
That's hilarious.
But I was telling this to my, you know, to my friend, and he listens to our podcast. In fact, he has been a guest here a couple of times as well. But he said, well, and I got so upset. Like, I stopped him in his tracks and I was like, no, well, nothing. I don't even want to hear what you have to say, because you've never been in my shoes. And
you just said, and you freaked out at well?
Well, because I knew where he was going.
Oh, what was he going
to say? I just was like, you've never been in my shoes. I've seen getting to wedding after wedding after wedding after wedding after wedding of all these little ones that I knew before they came out of their mother's womb. And I've never been married. And you don't know what that's like. And he just was so quiet. He was so quiet. And then he just said, well, then I guess you don't want to hear what I have to say. And then I just had to eat crow. And I said, I'm sorry. I do want to hear what you have to say, you know, and then I had to apologize afterwards and all of that. But I thought, wow, it was so interesting, because probably girlfriends could tell me that. And it would not have, for some reason, it just struck a chord, you know, with him telling me that. And so,
what did he say? Can you tell us what he said?
Oh, he just was, what he said was great. He was just saying, you know, had you married, you know, any of the guys that you would have dated, you know, there's a good chance you don't know what would have happened. You could be divorced. And I said, I would have been divorced if I would have married any guy that I dated, you know, up through the age of, the last time I went out with a guy was, I think I I've determined it was like 2009, maybe 2010. But that was just a, like dating, or probably like even a makeout session, actually. I don't even think it was dating. Someone that I had previously dated years before, and then a makeout session.
Oh, gosh.
But, so, yeah, but just, you know, it, he just, I said, you're absolutely right. I said, any one of those, I already know that I know, because none of those men were for me. And I know that. And so I just said, you know, thank you for sharing that. But I thought, oh my goodness, like, what was that? Like, I just got so like, don't kill me. Like when Pastor Jerry used to do the pterodactyl, remember, you got like,
struck a nerve there.
Yeah, really, really.
It really did. It really did. And so those triggers, I think it's good to talk about even some of the things that trigger you. Yeah. You know, some things you might already know. You might already know what some of those triggers are, but I had no clue that it was gonna, that I was gonna react and respond the way that I did. And and then I thought, gosh, like, I need a guy like that with that temperament, because he was so kind, he was so sweet, and could have easily just pushed back and been like, you know, I'm just trying to help you out, you freak, you know. And then it could have went really, really south, or really, you know.
Add fuel to that fire, right?
Yeah, like, no wonder why you're still single. It's no wonder to me, you know.
Talk about, ouch, that would have been awful.
Oh no.
Anyway, I love you, friend Brian, if you're listening at all or watching. But seriously, he's probably chuckling right now if he's listening. But I was truly, you know, it just really took me by surprise. And so I think it's important to even note those things. These are some of the things I'm still working through. And so sometimes these things do trigger me, and it could be some things from your past. And Diana, we've talked about, in fact, with Brian, we talked about doing the work so that some of that healing, not some, so that you can get the healing that is needed. Oh. So that these things are no longer triggers for you, things that were once hurtful in the past, or things that you've been traumatized in by the past. That was not a past thing. That was just a present. So don't know what that was all about, but I think it's still
just the emotional intelligence to know that you even have triggers. A lot of people are walking around, they don't even know why they act the way they do, why they fly off the handle the way they do. Some people never have taken the time to have any introspection about themselves, about their, you know, their makeup, their what's made them the way they are, you know, all the inputs in their life. And like we said, their upbringing. So yeah, even if that person has, the person that you're interested in has never, like we said, done the work, you know, and looked at their lives and things like that, that's a big deal too. And maybe they need to take some time to go off and do that, come back, so they can be a more healthy person. But a lot of people, again, because they don't want delayed gratification, they don't want, they're afraid that person will leave them if they go do, you know, what they need to do, out of fear, they just ram through and just, you know, dive in head first into this, you know, marriage, and then they have all this heartache after. So, and not to say that, you know, you can't walk through some of those things with your spouse. The older I get, honestly, not to say that I don't feel like with you, Cindy, I don't feel like I have any of the ones that got away, or I missed the boat regarding anyone that had been in my life as a, you know, a potential person. But there are things to be said for, you know, when you get married young and you kind of figure out a lot of that stuff together. I'm like, oh, you guys are so cute. Just do it. I'm so happy for you. Like, if I had to do it over, I feel like I'll just jump in there. But again, you know, you think, okay, Lord, each one of us has a different path and a different timeline, a different calling. So I'm not saying I have all this regret. Again, there's been a lot of junk to have to weed through, and potential, you know, marriage breakup and all that. But yeah, you just think, the more you know about yourself, sometimes the harder it feels like, man, I love what somebody said to me. And I think I've said this on the podcast before, but the older you get, the more you know about yourself, the more you understand about, you know, what God's put you on this earth to do, like the screen, the person has to pass through, gets smaller and smaller. But I love what somebody said to me years ago. They said, but only one has to get through You know, you're not trying to feed in, like, it's not like a fish net where you need a bunch of fish to come in. You just need that one. So I was like, okay, Lord, that was a wonderful word from a friend to say that. Because you do, you start to feel like, dang, like the more I know, the more I'm responsible for what I know. Why can't I just be young and stupid and foolish and just jump in? But you know, again, we are called to, you know, to be sober-minded about these things and to speak from our own experience about, you know, relationships that we've had, things that have happened in the past. So we'd love to hear from you. That are listening with us. You know, we always are available on social media, on Facebook. We're at The Single Sessions, also The Single Sessions on Instagram. We have our email address, thesinglesessions@gmail.com. You can always drop us a line, share your story. We'd love to hear from you because this is meant to be a two-way conversation with us and you. And it just means so much that you would take time out to hear what we have to say.
Yes, absolutely. It's been so much fun. And Bradley, it's been so great having you, girl.
Yes,
we always love when we have special guests on our show. And we're so appreciative of the wisdom and the insight. And really, this whole conversation was brought on because of a conversation that you and I were already having. So it was already in your heart. Already in your heart.
Okay. God put places us in conversations with other people, right? It's always about something that we either needed to hear, needed to receive, or we needed to share, right?
So
I think that was definitely a conversation that just led to, it's like, oh my gosh, this is a topic that we should definitely share and just talk about. And who knows, hopefully, prayerfully, it helped and blessed somebody.
Yes.
Get the conversation going, if anything else, right?
Yeah, and take notes. I always think, you know, whenever I'm watching like a masterclass or something like that, I do like to have my pen and my paper, or sometimes actually it's more my computer and I'm just typing away, because it's always good to go back, and especially if it's something that struck a chord with you, whether good or bad, to say, I really didn't think about that, or I actually didn't like that they said that, because I feel like it really resonates and is something that I've never applied to my life, my dating life, and I really need to. Especially if, you know, they say the whole definition of insanity is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. Yeah. If you go relationship after relationship after relationship and they just don't work, then you need to be assessing why they're not working and taking that time to reflect, do the work. And this way, when you do have that person that you really feel is for you, then you would be a little more ready and good to go and hopefully not make the same mistakes, or maybe pick the same type of guy or pick the same type of girl. So I think these conversations, that's why we call them the single sessions, because it's just really a time for us to talk, but there is healing. You know, people, we receive texts so frequently from people that just say, thank you so much. I really needed to hear that specific thing that you said. It just like, it really got me right in the goods. And so we want to thank you, Bradley, for bringing your goods to our sessions and, or this particular session, but to the single sessions. So
thank you for having me, both of you.
Yes. Well, we will definitely have you back. I know Ms. Diana would concur.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. All right. Well, everybody have a great week, a wonderful day, whether you're listening in your car or watching or listening from your room, actually watching this even on Facebook. We're just so glad that you chimed in with us, and we do wish nothing but the best for you. Until then, be safe. Remember, don't settle for anything less. Even if you feel like, but maybe I'm not worthy and deserving of the best. No, you are. You really are. So hold out for the very best. It's not an easy thing to do, but we've got some more resources and tools and tips coming your way to help you be that incredible, victorious, thriving single person that you're already called to be. So until then, till next time, bye.
Bye.